Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, December 17th. Interior Secretary David Bernhardt announced a new federal study on Friday, leading into another round of negotiations for the Colorado River's future. Luke Runyon reports.
Bernhardt made the announcement at a gathering of the river's users in Las Vegas. States within the southwestern watershed are set to begin talks over a new set of agreements next year. They have until 2026 to finish them. Bernhardt says this new study will set the parameters.
I bet there's a disparity of views of things that have worked well and things that haven't. And to get those issues teed up and then work through them, so that we can be ready in 2026, I think makes a lot of sense.
The Colorado River has faced unprecedented hot and dry conditions over the last two decades, which has caused its largest reservoirs to dwindle. The river supplies water to about 40 million people in the Southwest. I'm Luke Runyon in Las Vegas.
The state of Colorado is a national leader in encouraging investment in communities with high unemployment and poverty rates. Here's KVNF's Jody Peterson with the story.
Last week, three Colorado cities, including Montrose, gained national recognition for their investments in economic improvement. Forbes magazine included the state of Colorado on its list of the top 20 organizations and communities in the nation that are dedicated to creating equitable economic growth in underserved regions, and specifically mentioned Montrose, Pagosa Springs, and Colorado Springs. The Forbes list, called the OZ20, recognizes organizations and communities that are using a new tax policy, known as Opportunity Zones, to transform economies. Colorado has 126 designated Opportunity Zones, including several in Garfield, Delta, Mesa, Montrose, and San Miguel counties. The Opportunity Zone designation, which was added to the federal tax code 2 years ago, is meant to increase investment in economically distressed communities. It allows investors to defer taxes on their profits by putting them into an opportunity fund for 10 years. The funds then invest in properties, businesses, and neighborhoods in the designated communities. Forbes cited Colorado's sales tax rebates, fast-track permitting, infrastructure subsidies, and utility discounts as reasons for the recognition. The magazine also noted that Pagosa Springs, Montrose, and Colorado Springs offer education, job training, marketing, and tax incentives to encourage growth in opportunity zones. Although Forbes didn't cite Grand Junction, that city has also made major investments in opportunity zones, with projects such as the Riverfront Park at Las Colonias and the co-working project Proximity Space, which is also in Montrose. On December 12th, Opportunity Zone investors, developers, community leaders, entrepreneurs, and service providers met at Colorado Mesa University in Grand Junction to discuss recent developments and hear pitches for more projects looking for investments. For KVNF, this is Jody Peterson.
This is from the Montrose Daily Press. Mark Porter, the Delta man who died after a police encounter in August, had extremely high levels of methamphetamine in his system, and nothing at autopsy indicates officers' conduct contributed to his death, which was ruled accidental. Although Porter's death on August 18th was tragic, charging either Delta Police Department Officer Nick Buffington or Officer Garrett Henderson would be grossly inappropriate, District Attorney Dan Hotzenpiller said Monday, in issuing his decision based on an earlier critical incident team report. Both officers were acting within the law when they attempted to coax Porter, who was high and suspected of trespassing, out of the narrow space into which he had put himself. A 911 call the morning of August 18th put the events into motion. The caller reported Porter was in the Hines Mobile Home Park and appeared irrational as he opened vehicle doors and also tried the door to a home. During the first moments of the encounter, Officer Buffington learned from Porter that Porter had consumed 4 grams of meth, twice the amount he usually took, an extremely elevated amount. Officers Buffington and Henderson worked together, avoiding issuing repeated or overlapping commands, but Porter did not fully comply with direct, clear, concise directions. Porter did not comply with instructions to lie down on a gurney, but instead slunk alongside a vehicle and turned as if to leave. At that point, Henderson tackled him. Porter resisted and had to be restrained with the help of other officers and paramedics. Hotzenpiller said that at no point was force such as a chokehold used, and no one did anything else that would have restricted Porter's breathing. Paramedics administered medication, but Porter became unresponsive. He was later pronounced dead at St. Mary's Hospital in Grand Junction. Delta Police Chief Lucas Fedler said Monday that Porter's death was the outcome no one wanted and that his officers had acted appropriately. Porter's autopsy established his cause of death as meth intoxication. Criminal charges are inappropriate, according to Hotzenpiller. Buffington and Henderson were authorized to arrest Porter because there was sufficient probable cause to believe he had committed the crimes of trespass and possession, unlawful use of drugs. Fedler on Monday said because of the circumstances of the matter, he had not placed either officer on leave after Porter's death. It was clear to him that it was not necessary to do so. Fedler also said the tragedy casts a spotlight on drug addiction in general. Prescription drug abuse, cocaine, and heroin continue to pummel Delta and the region. And in more news from the Montrose Daily Press, the city of Montrose will hold a municipal election for 3 city council seats on Tuesday, April 7th, 2020. Council seats in District 3, District 4, and the at-large position will be on the ballot. Candidates elected to the District 3 and 4 positions will serve 4-year terms, while the at-large representative will serve a 2-year term. Those interested in running can access the candidate packet via the city website beginning Monday, or pick up a paper version from the city clerk's office between 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. Monday through Thursday. To qualify as a candidate, individuals must be registered electors, 18 or older, and have resided within the city and the district they wish to represent for at least 12 consecutive months immediately preceding Election Day. While candidates for the at-large seat can reside anywhere within city limits, they must meet the minimum residency requirement. In addition to the aforementioned guidelines, voters adopted revisions to the city charter in 2014, requiring all city council candidates to be clear of felony convictions. Candidates may circulate nomination petitions beginning on Tuesday, January 7th, and no later than January 27th, 2020. Candidates must collect 25 valid signatures to be included on the ballot. And that was your KVNF Regional Newscast for Tuesday, December 17th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.